It's here and now. Two major cities will elect new mayors next week, New York City and Boston. In both cities, one of the big campaign themes has been the growing gap between rich and poor as the cities have gentrified and gotten more expensive. It came up in last night's debate between the candidates for mayor in Boston, Martin Walsh and John Connolly. Here is Connolly.
I think about our seniors who have spent their life in a neighborhood, but they're watching condos pop up everywhere and drive the values up so they can't afford the taxes on a fixed income. I would embrace any and all programs that would help allow people in neighborhoods to stay in the place they call home.
Elizabeth Greenspan has written about this issue. She calls it Manhattanization for the New Yorker's website. She's an urban anthropologist, and she's with us now. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, explain what that term means, Manhattanize.
Originally, the term characterized the growing skyline of cities. So a city was said to Manhattanize when it built all of these commercial skyscrapers, kind of clusters in downtown, and created, you know, these identifiable skylines like New York. Lately, more and more people have used the term to define a growing expense of the city, creating luxury condos and creating unaffordable areas where only the very wealthiest residents can live in the downtown area.
Gentrification.
Yeah, basically. But in cities like Manhattan and others like San Francisco or Boston, it's a more extreme version of that. So it's gentrification, but where there's greater polarization and it's happened more quickly.
And you write about it as if it's a terrible thing.
Well, I think it raises some interesting questions. I mean, I think it's a good thing for certain people, and it's very difficult for other people. It creates separation. So you have areas where you have pockets of wealth, and you have then pockets of poverty that are nearby one another, but they don't necessarily interact. So you have people start to become segregated in space as well as by class, and often race and ethnicity go along with that as well.
The idea that not every boat is being lifted by the rising tide of a city. And of course, we see that in a place like New York City or Washington, D.C. as well. Many of the people who lived in the neighborhoods that are now gentrified have been pushed out of the city into the suburbs.
Yeah, exactly. They can't afford to live there anymore. Property values go up, which, again, if you own the property, can be a good thing. But taxes go up too. So even owners of property sometimes have to sell because they can no longer afford the taxes there. And so you have shifts of population when it becomes popular to live in the city. Now it is, right? And everyone's moving out to the suburbs who can no longer afford downtown.
And what is this doing to the mayor's races? We've got obviously a mayor's race in New York City, a mayor's race in Boston. This has come up in both of those campaigns.
Yes. In Boston, I actually was listening to the radio and I heard someone say, you know, so how do we make sure Boston doesn't become the new Manhattan? Mm. And that was the first time I had heard somebody refer to it in precisely that way and being referring to unaffordable housing. So both candidates now in the runoff race have spoken to that quite a bit. And in New York, it's very interesting that de Blasio won the Democratic nomination. A lot of people were surprised about that.
And Bill de Blasio, the Democratic candidate.
Yeah, exactly. And he won. He wasn't thought to be in the lead early on. And then he ran because he was running this campaign speaking specifically to this Tale of Two Cities idea, which is the slogan he's used, that New York has become an area for the wealthiest inhabitants but is no longer taking care of those who are poor.
And let's listen to a clip. This is Bill de Blasio talking in a debate with his Republican opponent, Joe Loda.
Let's be clear. We have enough luxury condos in New York City. What we need is affordable housing for everyday New Yorkers so they can stay in the neighborhoods they love, near their families, near their friends. And that's what I'm focused on creating.
Elizabeth Greenspan, talk about some of the proposals to create more affordable housing in these cities.
Well, in both Boston and New York, there's a sense now that we need a space for the middle class. And so part of that is creating more subsidized housing by the government, creating zones where rents will be kept at a certain price. You know, for a long time, that was the case in New York. You had rent-controlled housing. And more of that has been turned over to run at the market value. But we've seen that as more demand, you know, is in the market, prices will go up. And so we have a problem that only the wealthiest can be there. So I think, but one of the questions is how this will happen. And I mean, I think it's one thing to talk about it in the campaigns, but it's quite another to bring that into the policy realm and make that happen. And so a lot of people are wondering, you know, what will Bill de Blasio do and what will the winner of the mayor's race in Boston do?
But isn't this just the price that has to be paid for making a city safer and nicer?
Well, that's the question. And I think we should look closely at that because like you've said, crime has gone down in New York over the past few decades, and that's a very good thing.
And by the way, I used to live in New York, and it is the only city, really, that I feel very safe in walking around at even 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning because it is so safe and clean now, especially in Manhattan.
Yeah, it is. And I think very few people who really lived in the 60s and 70s and experienced that sense of crime and fear want that back. But it's not necessarily clear that we have less crime because there are wealthier people living downtown. And there's, I think it's very hard to associate a causal relationship between certain crime policies like Giuliani's window broken strategy where he really cracked down and the crime went down. But if you look actually what was happening in a lot of cities in the 90s, crime went down in those cities, too, that weren't enacting those policies. And they went down, a lot of people think, because the economy was doing well. And so it's really hard to know exactly what factors are causing something like a decrease in crime that we're seeing in a city like New York, but also in cities across the country. So I think it's we have to be careful to suggest that creating a more diverse housing market in Manhattan will somehow lead to more crime. We don't know that that will happen, and it can be dangerous to suggest that that will.
You mentioned people saying that they are nostalgic for the 70s when there was more crime, things were more dangerous. Maybe artists came up with better work and music was better because everybody was scared in the city. Is that just ridiculous sort of looking back and thinking, oh, those were the good days and it's because we didn't have all this gentrification?
So there were good things and bad things about that particular time in New York. So it was more affordable. People could come and move there and buy apartment spaces when they didn't have as much money. And so they could be creative rather than figuring out how they were going to pay rent next month. And I think that was a good thing. And I think a lot of people, what they miss in New York is that sense of freedom and possibility and creation and innovation that was happening in that time.
Because it would be very hard to live in New York right now if you are not pulling in a salary every month.
Right. You have to have your day job, and a lot of people do. And they did then, but there was just also a more, you know, people could come in from all different kinds of places and figure that, you know, it might be tough, but they could make a living. And now I think they're realizing that maybe they can't, and it's prohibitive. And so the risk is that they don't come.
I imagine that Michael Bloomberg would completely disagree with this idea. And he thinks that the gentrification, the Manhattanization of New York is a great thing.
Yeah, he's been on the record saying that he thinks we should have more billionaires, right? Because they spend their money and they buy things.
They create jobs and everybody becomes richer, he
would
say.
And I mean, there's truth to that. And I don't think it has to be either or. But I think the problem is that it's become so extreme now that there isn't an opportunity for those who are looking to get started. And that's a problem. And I think a lot of people are feeling the loss of that kind of youthful and creative energy. And they don't. And they want to make sure we take care of more people.
Elizabeth Greenspan is an urban anthropologist. Her latest book is Battle for Ground Zero, Inside the Political Struggle to Rebuild the World Trade Center. And her story about Manhattanizing cities is at the New Yorker website. We've got a link at hereandnow.org. Elizabeth, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Constant Contact, offering small businesses online tools like social media, event, and email marketing from one login at constantcontact.com. And Olin College of Engineering, working to revolutionize engineering education at olin.edu.